You're listening to Bigfoot Live. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We've received something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Out on the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out on the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, folks, it's TJ and Rocky and Marco Bill again. Want to hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, because we're right back at it. Another great week of the Bigfoot Live radio show. We got some great guests. We got our guest back from almost 3 weeks ago, Mr. Smith, down in the southern part of the country here. We're picking up with another lady named Autumn, and she's out in Oklahoma. But, you know, folks, we always start our show off with our number one gal, and she's out in Kentucky here in Shepherdsville. Well, her name is Audrey, and you guys all know about her because she's here every week, and we have a long discussion about the habitation that's going on her property. Hey, Audrey, how are you doing tonight?
Are you there?
DJ. Hey. Somehow I dropped, folks, and I apologize, but I'm back on the air. Audrey, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
All righty. Did you hear me?
No, you went total blank.
Okay. Well, folks, we're back on the air. I wanted to wish to make sure everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, because we're back there with the Bigfoot Live radio show. And we got our guest, Audrey, here from Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And what's been happening with you out there in Shepherdsville, Audrey?
Well, I've been a little bit under the weather here for a little bit, but we've been got hunters back on the property again, hunting deer, and how that goes.
Yeah.
And, well, they're not as active as they was because of the people coming too close up behind me, you know, and I guess it's scaring them off, but you can still hear them out there. You know, they're out there. You can hear them, but they're not as close as they was. Mm-hmm. And are you there?
Yeah, we're here, Audrey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The other folks are dialing back in and were kicked out.
So I tried a little bit of an experiment because, like I say, they don't go. They just back off. Mm-hmm. And like I say, several weeks ago, I seen one. He wouldn't even, not that far away, but I could see a real good visit of him. You wasn't on at the time. And like I said, we got all the hunters going on and stuff and keeping them at bay. But if a tip out there to anybody wants to listen with this, it sounds crazy, but draws them into you and makes them more weird noises, and it's not there. They're sounding different. It's are you there?
It's what?
Hello?
Hi, Autumn?
Autumn.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. We'll pick you up here in a few minutes, Autumn.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
So,
go ahead,
anyway,
Autumn.
This sounds off the wall, but like I say, the hunter's been keeping them off, and you can hear them in the distance, pooping and hollering and making all kinds of noise because everybody's wanting their deers, you know. And, I did a little bit of an experiment. Sounds crazy. But took urine and got it stored up outside for a long time, for like a week of it, you know. And I put it out there. And you whatever you're urinating from a human, with these Sasquatches, it's making them make a different sound. And now I can hear them during the day. Like at 12 o'clock noon, I could hear them out there making noises, and it was not humans, trust me. And
well,
it's whatever
kind of
it is.
What sounds was it?
Well, it sounded more like a woman, like it was like a child maybe or something. It was like a different type of voice, like
right.
a screech, you know, like a screech. And then one sounded like a cow, like a dying cow. So, you know, I thought maybe that's a rut season or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on the internet, looked up some rut sound noises. No, that was nothing like it. And like I say, my cousin, she's been staying with us off and on. And when her heard it, I got it on recording. So when you decide to come back in town, you can get back in. I'll let you hear it. Because it's on
okay.
the phone. I'm talking with you. I finally
right.
caught it. And we listened to it for a long time. We get real close up on us. They would back off. It's like I said, the gun shooting back there, getting them to where they're just staying at bay, you know. And I can't go out there and chase everybody off, you know, because I ain't doing that. But anyway.
Yeah, and they got guns.
Well, I don't have it. But anyway, she went to the store that night after I recorded it, probably about the middle of last week, after I was feeling better. And she said she walked to the store, and when you walked to the store, there was woods all the way up behind me to the store because they died off, and she come running back and she said, "It's following me down the street." Bless her heart, she got scared half to death. She could hear it all the way up. Like it was like a weird, mean, dying cow sound.
Right.
Now, like
was,
I say,
was
I
that down back by the riverside?
Yeah, I was following her up down through there, and it was bangs and stuff, and she told me she's been She wasn't a believer, but she is now, you know. Her house is left. Yeah, it's starting to scare her, you know. And
good to hear somebody joined the world of Bigfoot. That's awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, like I say, every time they get close, I can't hear them on the monitor as much, but I can hear them from a distance. Like I say, this hunting season's really throwing them off, you know, whatever activity's going on. It's died back on me.
You think they're staying back on the other side of the river, not coming across because of that?
I think so, yeah, because it's really heavy shooting back there. They're like there constantly, you know, all morning, all night, mm-hmm. back there chasing some deers. Because there's quite a few deers back there. So we'll have to ride it out.
Hey, you know, you're in the hot spot. It's yours. Nobody else can have it. You know exactly where it's at. And, you know, only the certain Bigfoot hunters are allowed to come on. And that's us. So, you know, heck. We'll be back down to see you here real soon. And, you know, with the deers around, you know, I've been noticing lately all my reports are coming with the abundance of deer in the area and some pigs. So I'm thinking that they're masking their movement with these other animals while these other animals are migrating also. What do you think about that?
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
Doesn't it? You know, I've been toying with it for years, but this year with all the sightings that happened, and there was always lots of deer around. You know, I'm a firm believer that they're using the deer and sometimes the pigs to mask their scent, their sound, and they're staying on the outskirts with the herds and little pods of deer around there.
Hmm. Well, Try that urine thing. You don't bring them closer to you. Don't make them make all kinds of weird noises.
Yeah? Now, does it have to be male or female?
Well, mine was, but like I say, I stored mine for over a week and a half, and you know how that could be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then I took just a little bit out to where I could see if they came up. Like I said, these hunters, you know, but they was just like screeching and cow sounds. And like, I don't know, it was like they was getting them curious. Like it sounded like, seriously, Apes Gone Crazy in the Woods. You know what I mean? All the noises they was making.
That should be a new TV show, Apes Gone Crazy. I love it. Awesome, Audrey. You know, we're coming up on that time here, Audrey. And, you know, I hope stuff stops happening again for you next week. We're going to go ahead and go to our commercial on the backside. We'll fill you in with Mr. Smith. And, Audrey, I want to thank you again for coming back on the show.
Okay, dear.
Awesome. Take us to commercial, Marco.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. Well, folks, you know, let me fill you in here, because a few weeks ago, hello?
Hello.
Hi, Autumn, how are you?
Sorry, I accidentally hung up.
No problem, Autumn. We were just waiting to get you on the air and listen to what's going on. You know, folks, we and Autumn talked earlier today, and he shared a very, very wonderful experience with me, and I wanted to her to share it with the, you know, all the listeners out there, and her story, because it's one that we don't normally hear, and she needs to get it out, and people need to know that this stuff does happen. Audrey, why don't you go ahead and kind of explain to us, you know, what happened, set us up for the time and when it happened, and go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay, I was about 15, so this was probably around 2005 or so. I was living in Mangum, Oklahoma, on East County Road 1450 in my dad's trailer, and I was home by myself one night, and I had my mom's Rottweiler with me, and was watching TV, and my dog started acting really strange and kind of doing a low growl and staring at the door. And we had a door that had a half circle shape above the door, so it was probably about 6-7 feet tall. And something, I guess, was staring at me through the window, and it was kind of dark outside, so I couldn't really see, but I seen just like a silhouette of something. And so my first instinct was to put my dog on a short leash and open the door. And so I did that, and this thing ran to like halfway into the middle of the yard by a light post. And of course that light wasn't worth a dang. And this thing was really tall, had long hair, and I let my dog off the leash and it chased it up towards the street. And I hadn't seen it since, but we had a back sliding door that we had the curtain open a few times, and there'd be something really big walking by it. And
now,
we never really
saw
anything.
Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up a little bit. You keep calling it a thing. Now, describe the thing to us a little bit. Remember you told me the height of your little crescent glass above your door?
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7 feet tall.
Yeah, and when you saw it, it was what? How hairy was it?
It was real hairy. I mean, it like I said, it had really long hair.
Mm-hmm. Could you notice the color of the hair? Or?
It was almost a dark brown, almost black.
Okay. Now,
It was scary. I mean, being home by yourself at that age and then having something that big stare at you through your front door. But I'm the type of person to go and figure out what it is. I'm scared of stuff like that, but I'm not going to let it petrify me to where I'm not going to find out what it is.
You go, girl. Now, what time of day was it again?
This was about 9, 10 o'clock at night, when it was really dark. And this is out like 2 miles north out of Mangum, Oklahoma. So it's like pitch black out there in the country part.
Oh, okay. So
how
close are you to that river there?
That river is right behind my dad's property. The house that was next door to my dad's trailer was my grandfather's old house, and all that farm pasture and everything back there used to be my grandfather's. So I used to walk back there all the time growing up, and there'd be strange things everywhere. I mean, you'd see like teeth marks on stuff, and there was nothing back there that would be able to do that because the cows, they didn't eat those trees. These are real thick trees and stuff. And it's strange having all this stuff out there and not knowing exactly what it was. But it's like now that we're having people come up now with saying that they've been spotting Bigfoot, is like, well, now it makes sense.
Yeah. You know, we were there a month and a half ago, and we followed up on 3 sightings, and 2 of the sightings came from people that didn't even live in Mangum. But once we went to the police department, we followed up on the reports that were made, everybody started coming out and talking to us. You know, it took them a while. We were really shy at first, but we went and parked at the, you know where the Sonic is in town, right?
Oh, yeah, I used to work there.
Okay. Well, once we parked the trailer there, everybody started coming out, and we started hearing, you know, stories of people from the past, present, and now, you know, you, after I've left the future, have all seen the creature, because they're using that tributary, that Red River right there near you guys, to travel through the area, and probably up towards the Kiamichi Mountain Ranges there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And see what's crazier is I didn't think about it until after I talked to my dad, telling him that I contacted y'all. He remembers you, TJ. He told me about how you were changing your socks out at the gas station.
Okay,
yeah.
So what was your dad's name?
Raymond Newcomb. He gave y'all a veteran's card with his name on it.
Yes, I still have the card. Yes, that's
yes,
right.
That's
we were
my
changing
dad.
Out our wet socks. Okay.
Yes.
Now
okay.
And now everything clicks. Now everything clicks.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, he reminded me of something I totally forgot about. One night it was real late, and I just had the energy to walk. I had just had my second son, so I decided to go walk in. So I was walking into town, which is, like I said, 2 miles north of Mangum, and where I was at, and I was walking, it was real dark, and I kept looking over, eerie feeling that something's following me, and I looked, and I was looking harder and everything, and there's a really tall, dark gray-colored thing following me, too. And I was like, okay, I'm praying a car drives by. I'm praying, and I have my headphones on. I couldn't hear anything. So next thing I know, a big truck drives by while I'm watching this thing follow me. And when the big truck comes closer, it disappears.
Hmm.
I mean, it was tall,
scared
too.
It away?
Yeah, it scared it away, whatever it was. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm Native American that I'm able to feel and see all these different things or what, but mm-hmm. it's strange. I mean, I've had actual encounters with spiritual stuff, with ghosts and all that, and now Bigfoot.
Now Bigfoot. You're adept, you're attuned. Welcome to the Bigfoot world.
Thank you.
We have this open forum so people can come on and talk about their sightings so that they can get it out and they can hopefully other people that are listening that are living in the area hear it and maybe they contact you. Maybe they get in touch with you and you create your own little group that goes out and searches. Is that something that you'd be interested in doing?
Well, I would be interested in that, but I don't live in that area no more. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma now.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe there's people in Tulsa that, are interested in Bigfoot just like you. If you'd like, you can give out your email address and maybe we can contact you and you guys can kind of hook up.
Yeah. Do I just say it out loud?
Sure. Just go ahead.
Okay. My email address is Autumn McClelland. That's McLelland 1@yahoo.com. If anybody wants to contact me, then go ahead.
Folks, you've heard it. This is what we're here for. You can contact Autumn and get yourself a little group going on there. And Autumn, if anything else happens, please, you got my number, feel free to call. Don't hesitate. Just pick up the phone. It's easy. That's why your dad had the number, so you could call me. Because Autumn waited a while because she was worried and scared and she didn't want to call, but she finally got enough nerve to do it. And we appreciate that, Autumn. So I want to thank you again for coming on the show this evening with us and sharing your story with us and welcome you to the Bigfoot community. And we're going to go to commercial. And if you like Autumn, you can just put yourself on mute and listen to the rest of the show. And we're going to come on back with Mr. Smith, hopefully this time, and we'll fill you in, folks.
Marco? 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand of what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
All righty, folks. It's a wonderful week. It's a wonderful Wednesday for the Bigfoot Live Radio Show because we've got the best guests with the most awesome encounters. And, folks, if you remember 3 to 4 weeks back, we had a guest on named Mr. Smith. And Mr. Smith has, well, he's got a lot of stuff going on his property. And if you remember correctly, if you listen back to the repeats to catch up with this week's show, you remember we left off with a bowling ball that was in the bag. The bowling ball that was cracked. Where the creature had put his fingers down inside of it and popped it open somehow. Mr. Smith, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing real good. I was under the weather for a couple of weeks. But, the last time we spoke was November 2nd.
Wow. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Mr. Smith has had so many different encounters and things happening on his property, and we cut you off short last show. We were actually we were down south somewhere, and we left off and had you as the hanger there for the teaser for the next show, and then you got sick. You're right, and we had to postpone. And well, we got you back this week, and we're happy to have you. And if you wanted like to just pick on up from there, we can continue. Like I said, we were talking about the bowling ball. We talked about the bag in the tree that went from one branch to the other.
Well, the bag went from one branch to another because the golden melon that was in there was pulled out of the bottom of it, and just the rind was left where it was like kind of pinched open at the top.
Mm-hmm.
He had dug out all of the fruit from it and put all the seeds back in it in one neat little pile at the bottom of the rind that was left. But I put a bowling ball out there. It's a red and white one, kind of a marble style ball. And I put masking tape over the three holes only because I didn't want to grab it and have some wasps or hornets or anything in it like that. But when I went back a few days after I had put that ball out, the first thing I noticed was that the tape was actually pulled off. All three pieces were pulled off and laying next to the ball. And I walked around the other side, and I saw this large crack in the bowling ball, which I showed you personally. I put it up with rubber gloves. I put it in a bowling ball bag. And it's been touched since, but I did show it to you, and it's a very deep crack on probably, not right in the middle, but maybe a third over. I don't know if it thought it was a melon or something to eat, but I mean, he cracked good.
Well, it looks like a melon, so it probably thought to itself that I was going to try to eat it. Well, he got it open just a little bit, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he did. And I tell you, I just floored over that. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I wasn't expecting that at all. I thought, okay, if he's curious about the ball will be moved, and maybe the tape will be gone. And actually, the ball was moved, but it wasn't that much, maybe 4 to 6 feet, because I had taken photographs of where I set it before I put it down there. And, interesting thing is I had a game camera out there right on that area, and it never went off. And I don't know if it malfunctioned, if something happened with the batteries and they were just too low where it just didn't go off or what, but I got skunked on that one.
Well, it's kind of also like the bag picture. You did have the game camera on that one. And when you showed me the bag that was hanging in the one tree, and then at the end it was hanging in the other tree, that blew me away.
Well, and yeah, it appears to be a tall Bigfoot that's walking kind of from almost the middle of the screen to the left. I had it set on a 10-second video. And the melon still in the bag in the tree, and this thing's back in the trees behind this. And
I remember now, yes.
And you can kind of see part of his back, his hips, his leg, because there's like a full moon to his back. And so he's kind of silhouetted But, you know, and it's like a day and a half later, and it's a daytime picture, and something tripped the camera, and it went off, and then the melon's gone. There's nothing video-wise between those two segments, and that bag's just blown in the breeze in a tree to the left of where it was originally hanging.
Right. Now, you know, when we talked about the seeds all being put back in the melon, you know, I picture it either A, either spitting them out in his hands or you know, using his thumb and picking them out and putting them down and then taking them back and putting them back into the melon after he cleaned the all inside out, which to me makes no sense. But, you know, it just the way it happened, I mean, it's very strange that, you know, it wouldn't just spit them out. What was he thinking? What was he keeping them for a reason? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was very meticulous the way he put them back in there all together in the bottom and kind of put them in a little pile. They were all touching each other, you know.
You know, I think of it as, you know, he knows that these seeds, you know, are the reason that this plant grows, and possibly he likes them. And he's telling you, hey, plant me some more. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. And actually, it was a short time after that, and I don't remember the time, might have been 2 weeks or a week, but there's a bench there in the woods not far from that area, and that was when I found that mushroom that was dissected in real small pieces and put on the front right corner of the bench.
That's right.
Yeah, I showed you pictures of that. But
that's right.
I mean, what in nature do that? I mean, even a bird wouldn't do it the way it was laid out, and just a couple of small pieces laying together. So I think he liked the melon.
He loved the melon, and he was saying thank you, if it's the way I look at it, you know. My mind is just flooded with all the different, you know, the encounters and the stories and the pictures and everything, and right now there was the time you were talking about the creature that it was low crawling or on its belly because it knew the camera was on your porch. If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, okay, this is the one I call Rosie, and she's actually on a 10-second video that you've seen, and you commented about that. And when the video starts, she's very close to the camera. She's about maybe 5 feet or so away from it. And something grabs her attention. You can hear coyotes or maybe other Sasquatch howling like coyotes very close. And she turns really quick to the left. And I've got a really good profile video of her. And she's completely hairy, lighter in color. And I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 feet, 5.5 feet. But I also have a picture. I set a game camera up on my porch, aimed it off to the side, not expecting to get anything. In fact, I didn't even really know what this was at the time. I couldn't figure it out because this is before I had the encounters, you know, like I've had. But it's a hairy creature down on all fours, no tail, and a body just like hers. And in fact, I got down there and I took some still photos of me and videos just to figure out what body mass was of this creature. And it's about the same. I'm 5'9", about 200 pounds. And so it's really close to that. But I had mentioned before that the one and only night that the puppy was out in the yard just happened to be that night. And she was in the front yard, evidently, and I believe she was trying to play with her.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, you know. Curiosity, it's puppies, there's going to be no fear, and the puppy's just going to think, well, I mean, when you say puppy, how old, how many months, do you know?
Oh, 7-8 weeks.
Oh, so, yeah, just a brand new baby. Doesn't know no difference, and, yeah. You know, would imprint on whatever and whoever. So,
I think this one, Rosie or whatever, that I've also had another encounter with that I don't go into too much detail about, and you know the reasons why, but I think right. She's got playful and curious personality. And she did something one time here that, frankly, almost cost her her life because I had a weapon trained right on her face, and I didn't know at the time that it was her or a Bigfoot. But she did something that only either a human or a Bigfoot could do, and I live out in the middle of nowhere. I'm very, very rural. And so I think she's really curious about things. I've had weird things happen at my fire pit in the backyard. I've got a wooden bench there, too, and I've had pieces of charred firewood picked up out of the fireplace and set on the bench. I have one of the blocks, a natural stone block that's in there, and this thing weighs probably 15, 20 pounds, and it was moved to about a foot over to the inside, and it wasn't like laying on its side, and nothing else was disturbed around it for any of the other stones or rocks, and just weird stuff like that.
You know, when you talked about the picture that you, the 10-second video that you think is Rosie, where you showed me, and she's startled by something to her left. You know, I think back to, you know, looking at it, and she has no shoulders. She has big shoulders. She doesn't have any neck. And then for some reason it keeps popping into my mind, because we had a long conversation. We talked about a lot of different creatures. You showed me a picture, and I remember one of them, of a creature that looked pregnant. Now, that's not Rosie, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really couldn't tell you. But that's the one where the video started. And her trip went in just, it was just a flash on the video. And then when I slowed it up and I played it frame by frame, that's when it showed those three different pictures of three different body positions of what appears to be a Bigfoot.
That's right. And folks, let me tell you, the creature looks like she's carrying, she's with child, you know. Like he said, whether it's Rosie or not, we don't know, he doesn't know. But, you know, if the creature did have she gave birth, he might even have a playful child around there, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, that'd be pretty cool. Because, I haven't had action here lately. I mean, last year seemed to be the big year for everything, for encounters and sightings and just a lot of the physical proof that I've had, whether it's stuff from the woods or, you know, videos and photos and such. But, I don't know. You know, I think that this area right exactly where I live is maybe like kind of an offshoot. Like they may travel somewhere around here because there's a large national forest around here. And, you know, so they may wander some other different areas and kind of shoot up the ravines and through the woods here and stuff and, you know, stay for a while. But, you know, I told you, when I go out in the woods, you know, if I hear anything or such, you know, I start talking to them. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, just like most people talk with their dogs and their dogs respond, or you talk to your cats, you know, people think to themselves, why would somebody say that? Well, because, folks, think about it. You know, people talk to their parrots, they talk to their animals at home, and the animals respond, you know, in the tone. I mean, if you're angry at your dog can, you know, I've had a dog that I thought was a great dog, and I got angry with her, and she showed her teeth to me. You know, I mean, it's just every animal feels that they understand, whether it's the tones, whether they understand the expressions. I don't know, you know, but if you're talking calmly to something, they're more apt to be calm and to accept you. That's how I look at it, you know. I can't speak for you, Mr. Smith, but that's my feelings.
Well, I do agree with that. And I had one instance where I walked back into the woods, and just shortly down the hill from where I was at, this thing just barreled through the woods and then suddenly stopped. So it might have covered like 100 yards or so, going from my right to left in maybe, I don't even know, 2-3 seconds. I mean, it was that quick, just crashing through everything, and then it stopped. I didn't hear a thing. And then I started talking to it, you know. And I never heard anything again from it. And I don't think it was a bear, but, you know, because this had been right around the time where I was having gifts left and being successful with getting things on the game cameras and stuff. But
right.
It was really weird.
When you say gifts, I remember our conversation with the crayons and the piece of paper, and I was wondering if anything ever came of that.
No, unfortunately, you know, I put a couple of pieces of paper out there, copy paper, on a hard surface with two different colored crayons, and I draw a couple very simple symbols on each piece of paper. But my take is that if, you know, anything picks that up and draws a line or any mark on it, that, you know, it would have to be a Bigfoot that's back there, because this is really quite deep in the woods.
It's ingenious. That's ingenious, because, I mean, the proof is right there and in the pudding, you know. You've got your game cameras. You've got some kind of writing written down there. I mean, what else could it be? I mean, it's just, that's ingenious. I mean, when you told me about that, I thought to myself, I'm going to start doing that. And yeah. I hope you don't mind.
And get a nice big chalkboard.
There you go. Leave a whiteboard out there with the colored pens, hopefully, huh?
Yeah.
That would definitely stay in afterward. But, I mean, it's an ingenious idea. I mean, you know, I research a lot of things, and all the gifting, you know, the rocks and the feathers, and I think you actually told me, did you get some feathers?
Well, you know, I have had feathers laying in different spots of the yard. I think what you're thinking of, I told you that there's a few times that I, like, walk the dogs out in the backyard at night right at sunset before they come in. And then the next morning I'll go out there, and there'll be some pieces of this large monofilament that's used for a heavy-duty weed whacker, like laying there, like places where I had just walked, and this stuff's red. The previous owners must have used it on the property somewhere, because I don't have anything like that. But, you know, and I've had it two or three times happen like that, where these pieces are just laying there where I had just walked the night before.
So either somebody was on your property weed eating in the middle of the night, not letting you know, or...
yeah.
I don't think that would happen on your property, honestly. You know?
I agree. You know, I had another weird thing, too. I had an armadillo that the dog was rolling in the hayfield, and when I looked at it, it was just the skin laying there. The whole insides, I mean, everything, head, all the backbone and everything was pulled, like, straight out of this thing. And it wasn't open like a zipper. It was, like, pulled straight out from one of the ends.
So something grabbed, had its hands on the shell, and then maybe the tail, I'm guessing, and it pulled it or separated the whole creature from it, huh?
Yeah, it did, because the skin wasn't ripped up at all.
That would cause for a lot of strength.
Yeah, it would.
You know, I mean, I've cleaned out armadillos, and they're a pain in the butt. And for something to actually just separate it from its shell, skin and all, and pull it, that's some strength.
Yeah,
and I
got to
think, why would it do that? I mean, well, if it wants to eat it, I'm sure. But I'm trying to think of the reason. But everything was still there, you said?
Yeah, the all the bones were together. All the meat was gone. Everything was gone.
Oh, so it did enjoy it. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I came across it, it was during, you know, daylight hours, and there was a couple birds pecking at it. And so, you know, I walked over to see what it was, and lo and behold, the whole spinal column and such is probably, I don't know, 15 feet away, 10 feet away.
Wow. You know, my mind's going back, and I'm trying to think. Remember, you said all your action was this summer. And what was the difference with this summer? Was there anything more there was abundance of that was there? Was there a cornfield near their area that had been up that year? Was the water high? Was the temperature different? What's the game changer on that?
You know,
all the other years.
Not sure on that, but it was a really hot, long, dry summer. You know, there wasn't a lot of rain, But it was pretty hot for about 4 months. And so that could have been it, because right here, there's not any springs real close. There's seasonal flows, you know, that go down the washes and such when it rains. But I would think water might have been probably the biggest thing.
Hmm.
And maybe I didn't leave him enough golden melons.
Well, have you tried the melon since?
You know, I haven't. I've tried other things, concoctions with peanut butter and sardines and teriyaki sauce and salt and sugar and, you know, other things like that. But, I haven't had any success. I was going to ask you, before I forget, when I met you, I gave you a couple pieces of that corrugated pipe. That was
it was right on my mind there, yep. We've sent it off and we haven't got any word back yet. I've called and I'm thinking that they've got it on the bottom of the pile. We don't pay the top fees. We kind of get a little courtesy, so they've got other things that they're doing. But I'll give a call here in about a couple more days and I'll find out for you.
Okay.
Tell a story about that, because I was thinking about it myself. You know, folks. Well, let him tell you. Go ahead.
Well, inside a barn, there was some corrugated downspout pipe, and so this is like 4 inches, and it's really tough plastic. And I had a couple of big pieces in there, probably, I don't know, maybe a 10-foot and a 20-footer, and something got in there. This was in a corner of it, and there was things next to it. There was a bench. There was one of those, like a nylon-type hunting blind, that was stored in there, that was set up. So whatever got in there didn't have a lot of room, but they didn't leave any footprints or footprints of any kind to see what actually tore this thing up, but it ripped it up like paper. And I gave Tommy a couple pieces so he could take them to whatever dental specialist or whoever to see what they thought tore into this thing, because you can see the puncture marks from the teeth right in there.
Well, we weren't going to send it to a dental special. We sent it off to a DNA lab to see if there was any kind of DNA on it that was pull off it and give us an idea of what it was. So, you know, I didn't think about the dental thing. They're teeth marks. I mean, folks, if you've had this corrugated pipe and you've used it for anything, this stuff isn't pliable. This stuff, it would take some pound force pressure to bite through it. I'm thinking at least when I did my looking online, it would have to be at least an alligator to get through the thickness. And you don't have any alligators around there, do you? And that's 3,000 pounds or pressure or pounds per inch that they bite down with on the force. So, there's no alligators, but I got to ask you anyways.
Oh, I know, but even if a bear got in there, I mean, that thing would have been banging into stuff that was right next to it. It would have moved things, and there would have been some prints, because that was the first thing I looked for when I saw that pipe torn up, was any kind of prints. I was expecting to see bear prints, but I didn't see anything. So,
why would a bear want to eat plastic? You know, I mean, there's no food there. You know, bears, it would have to be something that was just malicious.
Well, I agree. It had to be a big foot. And they probably came in on all fours instead of standing upright and just kind of snuck over there and just went to town on that.
And you got to think to yourself, why was it? I mean, the only thing I could think of is if maybe there was a small rodent in there or something and it was playing with it and wanted to get to it, or... But why would he even want to eat a rodent, you know, a little mouse? But, you know, I just, my mind kind of fades off into all the different possibilities, and that's what I came up with. Maybe it was chasing a squirrel, but then it would have to open your door. You know, it's not for something to open your door, unlock it, and go inside. A bear would just tear through it, and the other animal would dig underneath. You know what I mean?
Well, and I kind of checked for that, too. You know, I kind of shook the pipes to see if anything was coming out, if there was any you know, a nest from a mouse or turds from a rabbit or anything, and there was no sign of anything being in there. And actually, it tore up two pipes, not just the one. It tore up the other end of another pipe, too. So, I mean, it kind of went to town on this. And here's another interesting thing. Now, this happened probably about 3 years ago, and if Rosie was around here then, she would have been, you know, like 3 years younger. Well, actually 2 years younger at the time, because I got that video of her last year. So if she was 2 years younger than that, I mean, maybe she just wanted to, you know, she just thought that was a plaything and she went for it.
Hey, good point. Good point. You know, makes a lot of sense. You know, maybe it was just a curiosity and having fun. I mean, you know, you think about cats. You know, they like to play with their food. I mean, whether it's food or not, but wow. Hmm. It just, I'm thinking about the corrugated pipe. I mean, it was ripped apart. It was pulled apart. It was torn. There were spots where, yes, the teeth were chewed through it like somebody would chew on a pen, but then the parts where that were just ripped were, it was actually torn with fingers. Somebody had to grab it because there were no teeth marks in that area. But, I mean, it was just, it's mind-blowing. You know, we talk about Bigfoot, we talk about these creatures, and you and I have kind of delved even further into, you know, probably what they're doing here and why they're here and why they're in the area where you're at. You know, I mean, these creatures, they migrate. They're nocturnal. They travel and feed at night. They don't like certain temperatures. They like the heat more than the cold, but they don't want it too cold or too hot. You know, it has to be that perfect temperature. And I'm finding it's around 55 degrees, okay? I mean, yes, they'll deal with the snow, but 55 degrees, partial to a full moon. The humidity is like 47. What have you found? Have you done any kind of research like that?
Well, you know, just based on I've kind of charted, you know, different dates that I have written down, especially from the videos and the pictures. And November, excuse me, November of last year was good, and so was April.
Very good.
So, you know, that seems to be the times that I'm getting stuff more consistently.
Right. Now, November in your area, you know, I know it's still probably in the 60s and 70s during the day, and it probably gets down to the 30s, 40s, and 50s at night. Am I getting close?
Yeah, it's down closer in the 30s, yeah, and maybe mid-50s or so, low 60s during the day.
Okay. So Stierf is still fairly warm. You know, if you're a hairy creature, that's a pretty good temperature for you. You know, you're not too hot, you're not too cold, and you're in the area. You know, I remember the date, so I won't talk about them because I don't want to be specific because we're just keeping your, you know, our promise. Nothing happened on the dates that we discussed?
I'm sorry, on what dates?
It was November 8th through the 13th.
Oh.
Some of those were our magic dates this year.
Yeah, you know, I had the cameras out and I had nothing. I've noticed a couple more snap trees, but I can't say that it's been down in the last couple weeks or couple months or such, but they are newer than I've noticed.
Well, here's the good news, Mr. Smith. Well, some bad news is that, you know, probably they're migrating. And I know they never come back to the same place twice in a year. So my theory is they have three different spots that they're hunter-gatherers, that they'll check as they're migrating. And when each year they'll alternate one to two to maybe three different spots. So the good news is next year they're probably going to be back. And you probably should be ready. And, you know, it'll give you some time to get set to where you need to get better pictures and film that you already have, you know what I mean?
Well, exactly, and April, May, I mean, I'll be at it, you know, pretty hard trying to get reactions to them from different things, you know, the crayons and some other things I come up with and getting them on video and photos too, you know.
Oh, like, folks, some of the pictures and photos he has with the video are incredible. It's mind-blowing. And when you think about it, a lot of people have photos and videos. Some people don't have as clear. Some people have some that are just, you know, they call them blob squatches. His Rosie video is unbelievable. And I just got to tell you that, Mr. Smith, just well, between you and me.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this before, too. The difference is to how their faces are as far as, like, the black one that I saw the first encounter that I had, you know, that had zero hair on his face. It was just all black, like really
so smooth. Opposite.
And then, yeah. And then Rosie was all hairy on her face, you know.
Yeah. It goes to what I've been saying is there's different species or races, you know, just like people, you know, different builds. Because I mean, most of your creatures are, you know, I think the tallest one was 6.5, 7 foot tall, correct?
No, the first encounter was that tall black one that was running when I was grabbing the bow on the ATV, and
That's right. He
was behind a tree straight in front of me. He was 8-9 feet tall.
But the ones around your house have been smaller.
Gathered
from the information from the cameras.
Except, remember that one picture I showed you? Now, remember I had Rosie on all fours next to the porch,
right. Okay?
But then there's another one running, and he had just turned his head evidently when the camera flashed or such. Remember that? His face is a little bit blurred.
His face with little...
It looks like
a surprise.
Remember that?
Well, the surprise face, right? With his jaw dropped?
No. There was another one. Maybe I didn't find this one on the laptop when I showed you this. But there's another one that was running to the side porch, but he was running from left to right, and he was running just past. This was a different day and time, but he was running, and the camera just caught him for a single photograph. It's a little bit blurry, but he's had his arms out in front of him, and his face is at about a 45-degree angle. But,
I don't remember if that one rings a bell. The one that really sticks with me is the one with the mouth open and his eyes, and it's like he was caught in a surprise, you know, that one.
That's in the woods by another area where there happens to be a wooden bench, and I've had a couple gifts left there before, too, and I've left some food there before, some cheese and crackers and tortillas and a few other things, but... that's where I got that picture, and yeah, you're right. It's a close-up of appears to be a male Bigfoot from the top of the head down to about his waist or so. And you know, when the camera caught him for that single picture, he was totally shocked. His eyebrows are up, his mouth's open.
You know,
he's shocked.
Yeah, it's. You know, my mind plays back the pictures, and you know that one that just sticks in my head. And to see the expression of awe or oops, that's how I look at it. When I remember thinking about that, you know, I'm hoping that you have some more action. I know you could come back on the show. We could talk about tons of other stuff. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our hour, and I will invite you back anytime you'd like. We can talk and discuss. You know, strategies, reasons why, or even you go delve deeper into the creatures that are on your property if you like. But once again, Mr. Smith, I'd like to thank you again from the bottom of my heart and the rest of my fans out there. And thank you for coming on this week with us.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, Tommy.
You're very welcome. Hey, folks, we're at that top of the hour again, and you know, we got to keep on looking. We got to keep on searching. We got to keep our eyes open. When we're out there, not just thinking about looking at those little phones in our hands, because when we're out in the woods, those creatures are looking for us. Remember, we're their entertainment. So keep on footing. Remember, we'll be back next week for the Bigfoot Live Radio Show, and we'll have great more guests, and we'll blow your mind. So once again, keep footing, And Mrs. Calabash, we'll see you wherever you are.
Ivan was a no-bear tracker. Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for that.